It is good to be back with you as we come together in a time such as this to study a portion of God's Word and to sing songs of praise unto Him and also to address Him as our Father who is in heaven. We are thankful for the blessings that we have been given this day, especially the health that is ours and the beautiful weather and all that God has given unto us by His mercy and by His grace. We have visitors among us. We are glad that you are here. We hope that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us. And as it is, we try to express every time we get together and we study, that in our studying and in our teaching, the things that we practice, if you find something that is not in harmony with the Word of God, you would be our friends to point these things out to us. Because I believe if I can know the hearts of each and every member of its congregation, that is one of the things that they want to do. They want to be pleasing in the sight of God. We have no greater desire than that. And as with that being our desire, we evaluate our lives from time to time. And that's what we want to talk about for the few moments that we have together this evening. And that is evaluating our devotion unto God. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul makes the statement there, "From now on let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And as we examine the activities of the life of Paul, one of the things that we would come away most assuredly knowing is that he was truly devoted to the cause of Christ. I don't believe any of us would question his dedication in the things that he believed. As we examine all the activities that he went through, as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about all the things that he had to endure, the sufferings and the persecutions. We would certainly come to the conclusion that he was devoted, because even in his body, whether he was talking about this in a physical way or some spiritual way, he did bear the marks of Jesus in his body. For he was beaten, he was stoned and left for dead. There were many things that happened to him. No one would put up with this kind of thing in their life without the complete conviction of the things that they were speaking about. And then in evaluating his life, I believe we draw the conclusion that he truly did love God, that he loved Jesus Christ, and that he was willing even to give up his life for their cause. From time to time in the year and in our life, as we mentioned just a few moments ago, we evaluate ourselves. We look back and see what we have accomplished. We look ahead to perhaps those things that we want to accomplish. Usually this is done around the first of the year. But it would not be out of keeping with someone who is striving to be a faithful child of God to do this several times during the year, to evaluate their life, to look at the things that they are doing. It is always time for a spiritual evaluation. And perhaps we need to look closely at our lives and determine if we are devoted unto God as we ought to be. As Paul did, I believe we also should bear the marks of Jesus in our life, that is, in our service unto Him. Perhaps there won't be the physical marks that we might find upon the physical body of Paul, but certainly there's the spiritual marks of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe that this is our spiritual, this is our reasonable service, that each one of us as children of God ought to render unto our Lord. And there is always, then, this time that we need to evaluate, to see how we are devoted. If you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. And in this, I believe, as Paul is speaking here, as we're going to note this evening, there are four things that are here that will help us to see if we truly are devoted as we ought to be, that will help us in evaluating our life. Read along with me as we begin in verse 1. Paul writes, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Paul, through the remainder of this chapter, and even in 13 and 14, continues on with some of the duties that we as Christians have. But I believe in these few verses here, he lays a foundation for us to help us see if we truly are devoted unto God. And one of those things that we find is there in the very first verse. And that is to look at our life to see if we truly are a living sacrifice. Evaluate our life. Determine if we are this living sacrifice that we ought to be. If we look at our lives and we say, yes, we are that living sacrifice, someone might ask you, well, how are you a living sacrifice? Just what does this mean? What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Well, the word sacrifice, as is defined in the Bible, and we define it almost the same way today. We don't have to have necessarily a Vines Concordance or other Greek or Hebrew dictionary in order to understand what it means. We use it in the same way. A sacrifice is simply an offering or the act of offering. It is that which has been offered. And when we think of the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings that were made, we think of those animals that were killed and given unto God. This is what the word sacrifice means. And when we make a sacrifice, then what we are doing is we are giving up something. We are offering that to someone else. We can see that very plainly in the Old Testament. As the Jews were commanded by God to make certain sacrifices, whether it be a sheep or a goat or whatever it might be, they were in possession of that. And they sacrificed it. They gave it unto God. They gave it in worship unto Him. And those animals were killed and they were cut up and they were burned upon the altar. And the blood was done with certain things as it was sprinkled around the altar also. They had possession. They sacrificed it. They gave it to someone else. They gave it unto God. And this is what we are talking about when we are talking about a living sacrifice. And a living sacrifice is that which is offered and that which remains alive. It does not die. A living sacrifice. When we think of that word, once again, we go back to the Old Testament. We think of something being given, something that dies, a sacrifice made unto God. But we find an example of a living sacrifice in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 22, and then also in verses 26, 27, and 28, we find there Hannah, as she comes before God and prays to God that she might have a son. And she promises God that if I'm able to have a son, I will give him unto you. Well, God blessed her. She had that child. And in verse 22 it says, but Hannah did not go up to Jerusalem, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. This is what she had decided to do. That when she had a child, she had that son, she would give him unto God. We might say this was a living sacrifice. This was something that she had that she devoted unto God. And in verses 26 through 28, and she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord, and as long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. She gave him to God. This is what we're talking about in the sense of a living sacrifice. We are to sacrifice. We are to become living sacrifices unto God. Not in the way that the Gentiles did. Not even in the way that the Jews did. We can see how the Gentiles became living sacrifices unto their gods. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. There, Paul is talking about how sinful both the Jews and the Gentiles were, but especially as he is speaking in regard to the Gentile nations. He says in verse 24, therefore God gave them up, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. This is how they gave themselves up. They gave themselves up to dishonor. They worshiped their gods and they became living sacrifices unto their gods in this way, by living dishonorably and sinful and wicked lives. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 28, we find another example here of how sacrifices are made unto gods, as we find Elijah in his encounter with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And we see what they did as they cried unto their God. They cried aloud, it says, and they cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out on them. This is how they gave themselves to their gods. This is how they became living sacrifices. They cut themselves. This was their custom. Self-sacrifice to God is not like this. It's not committing the works of the flesh. It's not giving ourselves over to that kind of life. It is not doing whatever we want to do without restraint. That's not the kind of sacrifice God demands of us. That's not the kind of self-sacrifice that we need to have in our life. In our life, we need to evaluate and see if we are that living sacrifice. It is not the offering of animal sacrifices as under the old law. But what it involves is a surrender of ourself. It is an offering of our life unto God, our activities, our energies, our mind, our heart, our intellect. All that we have, we give unto God. We become then a living sacrifice. It is a sacrifice then that involves giving a life. Just as under the old law, a life was given, but in giving it, that life came to an end. Under the new law, the law of Christ, in being a sacrifice unto Him, we give our life, living unto Him. We read concerning the Macedonians and what Paul had to say concerning them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. And we read in this how to become a living sacrifice, when he's talking about the contribution that was made. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Here is what we're talking about. First of all, they gave themselves unto God. And as we look at our life, and as we recognize that the Word of God teaches that at one time we were sinners, we were outside of the fold of safety, we give ourselves unto God. There is a death that does take place. There's no shedding of our blood involved, but there is a death that does take place. And it is a death so that we might live. For some people, this death, I'm afraid, really does not take place, even for those that have been baptized. There really is not a death that is involved, because they never really give themselves unto God. They never become that living sacrifice. They never put to death the old man of sin and the world. They want to hold on to it. And as a result of that, their service and their sacrifice is not acceptable in the sight of God. I believe what God wants is what Paul said concerning, again, the Corinthians there in 2 Corinthians 12 and 14. He says, I seek not yours, but you. And that's what God wants. He wants us. He wants us to be this living sacrifice that Paul spoke of here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. The individual Christian, we might say, is the altar upon which acceptable sacrifices are made unto God. You know, as we go back to the old law, we find there was an altar there. The animals were brought in and they were sacrificed upon that altar. We are that altar under the law of Christ. We are the altar upon which the sacrifice is made. I believe if we can understand how that, in the sense that Christ is a giver and a gift, we can understand how we become living sacrifices. We all understand that Christ is the giver. That is, he made the decision. He decided to give himself for the sins of the world. The plan was made by God from the very foundation of the world. And Christ consented to that he was going to come and he was going to die. And in that plan, then, he is the giver. But he is also the gift. That is, he is the one that dies for us. In that same sense, when we become a living sacrifice, we are the giver as well as the gift. We give ourselves unto God. We make that commitment, that choice, and that judgment, that decision in our life that we're putting to death the old man of sin because in obedience unto the commands of God, and that we ourselves become that gift that we are giving unto him. All of our abilities, all of our talents, all of our heart and soul, everything that we have belongs unto him. That is what we give. Now, in evaluating our devotion unto God, we need to ask ourselves, is that the kind of sacrifice that I have made? Is that what I have done in the past? Is that what I am planning to do in the future? Am I going to be that living sacrifice? Have I lived a life that has just more or less suited me? Or have I lived in accordance with the will of God? And I believe as we evaluate our devotion unto him, this is one of the things that we can look at. Are we truly that living sacrifice that the Word of God calls upon us to be? We also can examine what is written here in verse 2. And that is the two words that are used. That is, conformed to the world, are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we can examine our life to see which pathway we have taken. The Word of God from the very beginning has set before man two paths that he can walk. Even in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God told man that he was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When he did that, he gave man a choice. He set two roads before man. And man makes the decision as to which road he is going to travel. Adam and Eve, we know, they sinned. They took that road that led away from God in obedience unto him. Even the children of Israel, we see in their history, that same road was before them. Because God promised blessings upon them if they were obedient, but he promised also to punish them if they were disobedient. And Christ, when we get over to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, talks about the broad way and the narrow way. Well, Paul is speaking in exact same terms here. There are two roads before us. And we either are conformed to the world or we're transformed by the renewing of our mind and in that way we're pleasing in the sight of God. I think we can very quickly see that the vast majority of the people that live in this world are conformed to the world. They live like each other. They live like those that are around about them. They conform to the lifestyle and the society in which they live. They take up those habits, those behaviors. They develop that kind of thinking that is there and the values that are found in the world. The vast majority of people are conformed to this world. These people then are influenced from the outside. They are influenced from the things around them, and that forms their behavior and their thinking. And it is the physical attractions, as we can see, that mean so much more to them. But God calls upon his children to be living sacrifices and to be transformed from within. That is, transformed by the renewing of your mind. The emphasis by God is placed on the inner man. That we change and that we shape there. And when that happens, we become the new creature. We become a new person, a new man in Christ. We become the spiritual being that we ought to be. And we become then dead to sin. This is the way that God wants us to be. And we evaluate our life to see if that's the kind of change that is taking place from within or from without. Now, this change that God would have us to have in our life is achieved both negatively and positively. As he says, do not be conformed or do not be fashioned according to the world. We understand the concept of shaping an individual's life. We all do that. We understand that. We strive to shape the lives of our children by having them do certain things, by teaching them certain things. And our surroundings and our activities go to shape the life that we have. We understand this concept. We want to ask the question in evaluating ourselves, if we are truly devoted unto God, what is shaping our life? What has shaped our life in the past? Is it God or is it the world? Have we become more like the world or have we become more like Christ? You women who sew, you have patterns. And you go and you buy a pattern and you buy the material and you cut it out and you sew it together. And you hope that the end product is that which you thought you was going to start out with. It's that pattern there. The result is just like the original. That's what our hopes are, I'm sure. Sometimes it doesn't always end up that way. But we want the original. We want to look like the original. This is what God wants of us. He wants our minds to be renewed by His Word. He wants us to be like His Son. He wants us to be like the original. Not like the world, but like His Son. John said in 1 John 2 and verse 15, 16, and 17, love not the world. But does our love for the world, does it alter our perception of God's Word? I'm afraid it has in a lot of Christians. Because I'm afraid there are a lot of Christians who begin to look at what a Christian is through the mold and through, we might say, the eyeglasses of the world. And it has altered their perception of what a Christian ought to be. We need to change our lives to fit the mold of Jesus Christ, not change our concept of what a Christian ought to be. Paul says here, be ye transformed. And as the Word of God begins to take root in our heart, we begin to change. We begin to be molded into that image and that likeness that is found in Jesus Christ. And this is what He wants us to be. And in evaluating our lives, which way do we go? Are we conformed? Are we transformed? James writes in James 1 and 3 verse 21, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. This transformation is something that is essential to this new life that is going to be acceptable in the sight of God. It is essential. We have got to change. We have got to be transformed into that image of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants us to do. And we can take time. We can decide whether we're being conformed by the world or are we shaping ourselves and our lives into the image of Jesus Christ. There's a third area that is in verse 3 that perhaps we would overlook in evaluating ourselves, and that is a constant examination. He says there not to think of himself, and talking about anybody really, more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. A proper evaluation of ourselves is something that is essential if we are going to grow spiritually. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul writes there, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourself. Do you not know that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified or you are reprobate? In the 10th chapter of that same book, beginning in verse 12 down through verse 18, Paul talks about those that compare themselves with themselves. Others are not our standard. Others are not the ones that we evaluate ourselves with. It is the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us not to have an overestimation of ourselves. Examine your life. This is something that is harmful. Not to think of an individual more highly than we ought. Because this is going to fill us with pride. This is going to fill us with the air of maybe being superior than someone else. We might have more knowledge. We might do more. But as he goes to point out here in the latter part of the things that we read just a few moments ago, we're all members of that same body. There's also a danger in under-evaluating one's worth. This can be just as harmful. I'm sure that you have perhaps run across some Christians that think that they just can't do anything at all. There's absolutely nothing that they can do in the cause of Christ. But this also is harmful because it will create an attitude within that person that says they really can't. But as Paul writes here, we all can do something. We must examine our lives by this proper standard that is given. And it is the faith, that is, the system of faith, the doctrines of Christ. This is the standard by which we measure ourselves. This word that has been given is the measuring rod. All of it. All that has been given. I'm afraid that perhaps in the past, some of us have gotten the idea that we measure faithfulness by other standards or by a limited standard. All of my life I have heard concerning individuals that they were declared faithful because they went to the right church. They talked the right things. That church practiced the right things. And therefore, they were faithful. And we have almost equated faithfulness with attendance. And that's only part of it. It's the whole measuring rod that we need to examine our life with. The world wants the standard to be themselves. But it is God's word that becomes the standard. We need to examine ourselves. And when we do, what do we find? Do we like what we see there? In an examination, do we like what we find? Or are things that we could probably improve on? This is the third thing that I think Paul here is talking about when he speaks to them concerning being living sacrifices, that we can evaluate our devotion unto God, and that is, from time to time, just examine yourself. And in verses 4 through 8, I think we have the other principle that is found. And that is involvement, or being active. There is something for all of God's children to do. And I think this is one of the things that Paul points out in verses 4 through 8. We can all be involved in some work that God has given unto the church. Every member in the body has a function. Everyone. Doesn't make any difference what you might think your abilities and talents are. You can do something. Physically, we understand that, don't we? Physically, every part of the body has a function. Now, from time to time, we wonder if our brain has a function, but we know that it does. Every part of the body has a function. Spiritually, it is the same thing. Every member has something to do. Each has abilities. Oh, they will differ one from another, but there is that ability. We are called into service. We are called to work in the kingdom. And as we read just a few moments ago there at the end of verse 1, which is your reasonable service, or which is your spiritual service? Your living sacrifices, so you might render service unto God. Many of the parables of Christ deal with this, with the aspect of work, with the aspect of service rendered unto him. And also it speaks of the resulting reward that comes from that service. Paul is pointing out here, examine yourself. See if you are involved. Everybody is able to do something. Everybody can do some work in the body of Christ. And he is urging them to do that. Notice what he says concerning those that prophesy. Prophesy in proportion to your faith. Ministering, you do that too. Teaching and teaching, exhorting and exhortation. All of these things. Your members, you do them what you can do. Now, in evaluating our devotion unto God, and again, I believe we need to do this from time to time, we would simply ask ourselves the question, are we satisfied with that? Am I satisfied with my service in the kingdom of God? Do I have any plans in the near future to perhaps do more than what I have done in the past? We need to ask ourselves these questions. As we evaluate our life and as we evaluate our devotion unto God, these four things, Paul is saying, are you living sacrifice? You should be. What's conforming you? Is it the world? Are you being transformed by the renewing of your mind? Examine yourself. Don't think too highly of yourself. And become involved. Do the things that God has given you the ability to do. Can we say with Paul that we bear in our bodies the marks of devotion unto God? Oh, not in a physical sense. I understand that. Perhaps we don't. Not in the same way that Paul, I'm sure, did. After he had received the beatings and the stonings, he probably did have physical marks in his body as a direct result of his devotion unto God. Do we bear in our body the marks of devotion? Are we sacrificing ourselves? Is it a self? Is it self that we are sacrificing under the cause of Christ? What is it that's shaping my life? Is it the world or is it the Word? You know, those two words are so close together. The world or the Word? What's shaping my life? Am I afraid to examine my life too closely because I'm afraid of what I might find out in a true evaluation of myself? Am I using my abilities and the opportunities that God has afforded me in service unto Him or in service unto myself? We must sacrifice. We must be transformed by the Word of God. We must constantly examine our life. And we must always, till the day that we die, become involved in the work that God has given unto each and every one of us as a part of the church. Paul, I believe, is saying to them, this is what you need to do. And in so saying, he is also speaking to others. Examine your life. What are you? Are you that living sacrifice? Or are you falling short of the commandments that God has given? If you're here this evening and not a child of God, it's time for self-examination. It's time to make the determination that you are going to be a living sacrifice. Because just as Christ gave Himself for you, He gave His physical life on the cross of Calvary so that you might have eternal life, you must give yourself unto Him. He's the gift and the giver, and so must you be. Giving yourself unto Him as the gift, all that you are, your whole being, holding back nothing. This is what God expects. And in return, He has promised unto us eternal life. He's promised unto us a life here that we, in which we will have all that we need, but in a life to come, more than we can even possibly think of. Being with Him throughout eternity and enjoying those blessings. This is what God has promised, and He's not going to fail in His promise. And all He seeks of you is to give yourself to Him. If you're outside of the fold of safety, commands are given. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. This will place you in the family of God. This is what He expects. The song has been selected. It talks about the blood of Jesus. It'll wash away your sins, but only in obedience unto His word. If you're here, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?